This poem is called The Going. It was written between 2002 and 2008. And it's a series of poems about Alzheimer's. Turns at the mirror. She paused in the doorway, a blurring silhouette. All love derived from there, all safety and measure. She said, "Whenever I look in the mirror these days, I get such a shock. Who's this?" I ask myself. "What's been happening?" Nothing inside has changed. In here, where I live, I'm still the me I always was. But when I see the way I look, I'm a stranger to myself. Her finger had been caressing the space between my eyebrows, the crowning joy of my day. 40 years on, I can still feel it, soothing me, bedding me down, as again she hovers, blurring in the doorway, with me before the mirror now, and both of us in shock. Finding something to say. I've been wordless for weeks. Having nothing to say is life-threatening. Calls out of nowhere, calls not my own, echo round my sanctuaries and drive me from my standing. Too easily I've languished at the receiving end, the most dangerous place in the universe. Millions are trapped here among the bones, the refuse, the frantic wandering eyes. Best break clear. Best get moving to music. Best make my own glorious noise. Skirmishes with the gods. She told me the winds had scattered all her boundaries. Events just tore through her without noticing. She yearned to act, to impress herself on the Furies, to take hold of something. But her nature, schooling, the mass bodies of that time, they stood against her, and she yielded. A life in the shadow of others' needs leaves nothing to spare for skirmishes with the gods. So she didn't know, as she waited to die, if anyone knew who she was. The going. The going's getting harder. More often now I'm losing hold and have to keep dealing with the world from ledges frighteningly deep. Listen, world, I'm hanging on down here. I can still get words out, but the going's so much harder. It's all down to words. Let them just be crystal clear. Let me not mince any, nor flinch from the meanings they yield, as the going keeps getting harder. Visiting. You are silent most of the day. She seems detached this time. Do you think she's retreated into some private cell of her own imaginings? No, I caught you at it, groping at all times for words. And they fled from you like scraps of waste paper, cavorting in the cruelest of storms. Dry land has become a suggestion made of mist forever beyond you. In panic, you throw out your hands. It's vapour they close on. I realise towards the end of our day together, you are making one last effort to connect. You plunge forward, but then meeting the gulf yet again, meeting again this slither of meaning towards hazy shapelessness. You gave up, exhausted. "Ah," you said, in disgust, without energy. You meant, did you? Ah, God help me, save me from this place. But then at last we talked. "I'm going now," I told you. "You'll come back, won't you?" "Yes, I'll come back." "You will come back. You will come back. You will come back. A dangerous house. It's almost gone now, my power to hold, to put things together. I can't speak, can barely walk. Even the ground's a stranger. It keeps shrugging beneath me. I shuffle in case I fall. And my knowledge, my memory store, my lifetime's hoard, my subtle treasure, I feel it daily draining from me, seeping out of my feet like blood. It's unique, first ever, unrepeatable. I shuffle through a dangerous house in search of my treasure. Nothing holds good except another. Not I now. The words that speak for me must now come forth from lips that blush with younger blood than mine. Tracing a name. Your date of birth, please, sir, and your mother's maiden name. I wrote Gladys Mary and pushed it under the screen. She was about to pass out the money when, reading the words, she paused. Her maiden name? Oh, God. Ah, her surname. The word Williams established my credentials. It was good to have you with me, young, naive, wide-eyed. It was good to spell out your name. Being together. I didn't know that sound was in you, that bass growl, past all wording. Your head never left the pillow. You watched my spoon of water approach your lips, but never looked at me. I didn't know such moments were possible. We learned quickly. We hardly spilled a drop. I stroked your forehead between your eyebrows, silently, silently. Your eyes closed. You come awake, you taste. Still you come awake. I am confident you taste. But though it seems you also have sight, your eyes don't look anymore. I conclude you're beyond thinking. You neither talk nor smile, but sort of bay sometimes to expel a frog in your throat. You defecate with no restraint or sign of surprise into your nappy. I clip your fingernails to stop them spearing your palms, so clenched your hands all day, the stink of your fingers like bad feet, my mother. It stays with me for hours after I fled from you. For I do not last long. I bring flowers in case you catch their fragrance after I've gone. I bring a chocolate mousse for sweetness on your tongue. I bring cream to moisten your scaled and haggard face. I bear to stay just half an hour each month, my mother. Been away. The night before her funeral. We're going north to make an angel of you. You whose clenched fingers in those last hours of being human stank like unwashed feet. What phantom pursued you hour after hour? What claws griped at you from the borderless dark? All your life that gowl was lying in wait for words to fail, guard to drop. I have a picture of you, young as my sons are now. How vivid you were, how easily hurt. A joy to meet you, ma'am. Oh, mother. I would be worthy of your dreams. I would adequately succeed you. I would, if I could, you had died easy. The Isabella Plantation. The Isabella plantation is quiet in midwinter, but passing today I heard two words of yours still hanging there. I had brought you down for the weekend, and in my garden you had apologized to my sons for your lengthening silences. Do you not, you said, struggling for lucidity, to anything they had lightly said or done, but to corruption of your own faculties within. And then I brought you here, at a time in spring when it is all so glorious that words cannot describe the wonder of it. We were lost for a while in the wonder of it, until you said, "It's lovely," almost choking, as if you knew that these two words were almost the last you'd ever speak, and perhaps therefore could have been kept for something else later. Then I drove you home.